watch it. You'll go charismatic here. That's the kind of thing we do in the charismatic church. Clapping and praising the Lord at the end of the song. And again, welcome if you're just joining us on the live stream. I'm Jeff. I'm going to facilitate conversation today. And really what we'd like to start with is a continuation of a series that we've been in called Christian Lies That We Tell Ourselves. And today is number 3 in that series. I've entitled it Creep. What the hell am I doing here? As I said earlier, we didn't used to be able to cuss in church, but I think this message has everything to do with that. Have you ever felt out of place? The rest of you are lying. You know you have. So whether it's within communities or religious groups or various belief systems, do you ever find yourself feeling like an outsider? This persistent feeling of rejection and self-loathing can only be transformed when we change our perception of our relationship with God. And today we're going to challenge the false belief that God disapproves of you. And we're going to explore how understanding His true nature can actually lead to healing and acceptance. Here's our premise. Why do I feel like I don't belong? All self-loathing, stems from a rejection of the creature that God created. I'm speaking of you and me. That rejection is justified often. It's legitimized when religious belief systems and errant views of the Bible tell us that God ordains the we-they distinctions, that he vilifies certain communities of people. I'm going to call on a gentleman by the name of Tom Ball, and a video that he did to help me introduce this subject to you, if we could. Go ahead.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a queen. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. She what the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here, 'cause I'm a creep. don't belong here.
Watch that without crying. I don't belong. Just three of the worst words that you can ever feel. It's the dehumanizing of another human. And where does that come from? How does that happen? How do we dehumanize another human? I'm going to give you three reasons that we do it. Number one, it begins with the religious idea of separation from God. Oh, and that God's retributive. He's angry, and he's going to get you in the end, unless you make the right decisions now. You know, our actions do not have the power to separate us from God. They just don't. Mistakes are an essential part of being human. I love Paul Young's take on this, author of The Shack. He said, quote, "Do we really think that Jesus never made a mistake on his homework? Never forgot someone's name? Or as a carpenter, always made accurate measurements?" I mean, just stop and think about this. Jesus didn't have a reputation for being the best carpenter in Nazareth, making perfect doors and always having level tables. We project that on him and his humanness. Dear ones, humility is always a celebration of being human. If you want to be humble, be human. It's okay. This word sin that we're fond of referring to in our religious circles, it comes from the Greek word hamartia, which is actually a compound word, ha and martia. Ha means, it's an alpha word that means a negation, sort of like un or dis in our English language. So when you say unkind, it's an undoing of kind. Marta has its Greek roots in the word form or origin or being. So put that together now, and the primary meaning of the word sin is a negation of our origin or being, a formlessness. Anything that negates or diminishes or represents the truth of who God created you to be is sin. No matter how pretty it is, no matter how ugly it is, doesn't matter. And here's the real power of separation. Separation forms the core concept of many of our religious beliefs. When this idea of division is accepted, individuals become vulnerable to anyone who claims to possess the exclusive method for bridging that gap to the divine. Once the notions of division and separation are perceived as truth, vast religious structures, organizations, and systems of authority are erected to guide people towards their salvation and their enlightenment. It's the same thing that the serpent brought to Eve in the garden. You're not enough like God. He's just trying to keep this from you because he knows if you eat this, you will become like him. So you're not like him now. You need something outside of yourself to become like him. Separation is an illusion. Nothing can separate you from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, Paul says this, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, nothing else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love Francois Dutoit's take on this in his translation. "This is my conviction. No threat whether it be death or life, be it celestial messengers, demon powers, or political principalities, nothing known to us at this time, or even in the unknown future, no dimension of any calculation in time or space, nor any device yet to be invented, has what it takes to separate us from the love of God unveiled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the second reason that we accept dehumanizing another human is because of our society that we live in. It's our culture that conflicts with the you that you are. Voices through relationships, marketing, the entertainment industry. We look at somebody who's successful in entertainment, who has lots of money, who gets to go wherever they want. Maybe they're even driven there in a limousine. Okay, so do I need to name the latest hot item that everybody's in love with and everybody listens to her music and everybody's enthralled with her and she's like the queen of what it means to be young and successful and pretty and have everything at your fingertips? Nobody knows who I'm talking about, right? And this isn't just an American phenomenon. This is global for this young lady. To her credit, she smartly got a new boyfriend from the Kansas City Chiefs, but that's beside the point. Oh, come on. I had to slip that in. So, you know, whether it comes from our relationships, the marketing that we're listening to, the entertainment that we're watching, there is marginalization, there's isolation. We're taught to alienate people. We're taught to demean people that are not like us. We're taught to deprecate and disenfranchise, to trivialize the thoughts and the feelings of other people because they're not like us, because that's not the way I feel, because those aren't the choices that I would make. And so we censure. It's the power and the destructiveness of comparison. Comparing myself with someone else or some other vision of what good or successful or happy or is, some idol that I'm comparing myself with. Paul had to deal with this in his writings when he was taking care of his flock. He constantly had to wrestle with these same attitudes in his marketplace and society and his church. Now, listen to his words here from the book that he wrote called 2 Corinthians. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant! I love Paul doesn't pull any punches. How ignorant! Now, the next one's going to create a little uneasiness because it's where we certainly all live, and it's the church itself. Yes, the church, Jesus' church, the church you go to, the church you attend, the church you're fond of, the church where you invest, the church where you give, the church where you serve, the church you grew up in. Maybe the church that you left, and you may have left it for the very reason that I'm talking to you about this morning. Because when you were there, you were being dehumanized. And you had to start asking the question, what in the hell am I doing here? I feel like a creep. Let me remind you of our premise. Why do I feel like I don't belong? All self-loathing stems from a rejection of the creature that God created. That rejection is justified. It's legitimized when religious belief systems and errant views of the Bible tell us that God ordains the we-they distinction and that he vilifies certain communities of people. Fellow believers, I want you to look at me. I want to see your eyes for a moment. I'm going to have to do a little bit of reading of this, but when I look up, I want to see you looking at me, because I want to tell you something now. I've probably never stated anything this strongly about this subject before. Whenever you marginalize another group, when you deprecate, which means to belittle or disparage, and you despise another human being, you do not represent Jesus Christ. Whatever you're thinking or feeling, and I don't care what you're using and whether you feel you have Bible and Scripture behind you to do it. When you disenfranchise or alienate another person who isn't like you, who doesn't believe like you, who you don't know and isn't living like you, you are not operating in the love of God. You are not representing Jesus Christ. You are not representing his church. I don't care what church you go to, how big it is, how wonderful all the music program is, and how charismatic the preacher is. It is, Paul said, a clashing cymbal, just making noise, a gong, if you don't have love in everything you're teaching and everything you're believing. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Here's how Francois puts it in the Mirror translation. Beloved, love always includes others. Since love springs from God, its source is found in the fellowship of the Father, Spirit, and Son. Everyone who encounters love immediately knows that they too are born from the same source. I'm going to pause for a moment, and I want you to think of any other human being that you can imagine right now that you rub shoulders with, or that you have occasion to be around, or let's say that it's even from a distance. It could be a fellow employee, but you never really have to engage with them. But what they do and how they dress and the lifestyle that they live is abhorrent to you. And you find yourself marginalizing them and isolating them and alienating them. Or a news report comes on, and it's regarding some community of people that you don't agree with. Do I need to pick the hot button of LGBTQIA+ now? Plus. When you marginalize, I don't care if they're the gay community or a dysfunctional person or a person, you know what? If we just look around the room, we have some real dysfunction right here, okay? I mean, if you just look up here, I could give you a couple dozen reasons to isolate me, alienate me, disenfranchise me, trivialize what I'm about and what I'm saying. But I give you this every Sunday, and you don't see this. Some people have come out, and they're letting you see this, and you don't like that. And you think that Jesus Christ has given you the power and the Scripture to dehumanize. And I'm telling you that you are wrong. I don't care what the group and what they believe. I don't care what their sexual orientation. I don't care what gender they associate with, have chosen, or were born with, and don't believe it's a choice, and it isn't a choice. You don't have the authority or the privilege of dehumanizing another human being for any reason. And when you do, you are not operating in the love of God. You quote scriptures all day long. Go into the Old Testament. I had somebody write me a hate piece recently, and they said, we're supposed to love the sinner, or love the sinner but hate their sin. This is gross. How can you dare put this up? How can you dare give approbation to this? Even on your website, don't you preach Romans? And I knew exactly what they were talking about. You know what they're talking about, the clobber passages in Romans chapter 1 and 2 that blend with Old Testament passages where, you know, the gay lifestyle is where they were, what they were talking about. The clobber passages, I call them. Here's what Paul said about clobbering people with Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. He said, I want to tell you that now we know no man after the flesh. We used to know Christ after the flesh, and we criticized him, and we ridiculed him, and we put him on a cross, and we judged him, and we said he wasn't from God. In fact, we said that his power was from Satan. But now our eyes have been opened. And so now we choose to judge no man after the flesh. He's just not given me that privilege at all. That came from them eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not the knowledge, it's not the tree of evil, and it's not the tree of the knowledge of evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where you're comparing. And Paul said, you are ignorant when you compare. You are ignorant when you say that specimen of humanity or those choices or that type of music or that type of lifestyle, whatever it is, compared to me and my understanding of the Bible, that's wrong. No, you're wrong. You're ignorant and you are not representing Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, many consider to be the foundation of the Old Testament. It's the passage that deals with the passion, as we might call it, of the Christ. His raw crucifixion. It is a depiction like no other, and it is bloody. Isaiah chapter 53, the whole chapter. I want to read you verse 5 from the Message translation. The servant, speaking of Jesus, grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on, passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him and thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. He went into the grave with. He put to death death. He put to death my brokenness. He put to death my unhumanness. And he became a human that I might be completely human and be restored back to what God placed in Adam and Eve in the garden in the first place. Mr. Ralph Rickenbaugh, you're watching from Switzerland today, as you always do, one of our faithful church members. I see him in the chat. Hi, Ralph. Last week, you said something that was brilliant. No, everything you say is not brilliant. But I wrote this one down. He's going to be typing soon. Listen to this, and I quote, I can't think differently about people until I feel differently about God. Brian McLaren said this, and I quote, fellowship is a kind of belonging that isn't based on status, achievement, or gender, but instead it's based on a deep belief that everyone matters. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is loved. No conditions and no exceptions. I'd like to introduce you to the man who sang the song Creep behind the video. Here he is in performance.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. She doing here. I don't belong here. 'Cause I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing?
Five years old. Wouldn't you like to have that in your choir? What'd you hear?